Welcome, welcome to another episode of Real Talk with Kingsley Obudere. This is your boy. You know, we talking basketball, everything basketball. And of course, I have someone special here with me. Today's episode, we are traveling all the way to Nigeria. And we have a senior basketball writer, Afiemo, on the line with us here. He's going to give us some insights on what's going on in the continent. How are you doing, Afiemo?
I'm doing very great. I'm good. How you doing, Kingsley?
Well, pleasure. Pleasure to have you on the show. And I want to welcome you. And of course, you know, please tell us a little bit about yourself and what's going on in Africa.
Oh, yeah. I'm Afiemo Baro, a senior writer. My basketball blog, reboundng.com. I'm also a basketball contributor on a host of shows and also a podcast anchor. The basketball scene in Africa has been intense for some time now. There's been a whole lot of things going on in basketball in Africa. So where would you want me to start from, Nigeria or just Africa in general?
Well, I know that there was a recently concluded Basketball African League. And I was a big fan of the league in terms of what was been going on. And give us a little bit of insights in terms of what did you think about the league? How do you find it? How do you find the players? That kind of thing.
Oh, first off, the Basketball Africa League was something like what the NBA is trying to do in Africa, partnering with the leagues in Africa, the club size in Africa. It's something of repute. And it goes to show that the NBA is rootly actually basketball development in Africa. And the BL League, the ball league, it was one of such things I feel the NBA has been able to put on ground. And the competition was a real stunner. I mean, there were a whole lot of razzmatazz. There were a whole lot of players, a whole lot of teams competing. It was fun. It was ecstatic. Everybody was just on point. And, well, there had to be a winner, as all competitions have to be. And it was fun. I really like what the president is doing, Amadou Gallo Fall. He's really taking it a step higher. And we hope to see more detailed events in the coming years. All right. Now, for some of the highlights of the Ball Africa event, we had the MVP of the tournament, Michael Dixon. Michael Dixon is from Georgia. He's not an African. He's from Georgia, and he plays for U.S. Monastir. U.S. Monastir were the winners of this year's competition. They actually won. They defeated the Angola team 83-72, and Michael was on point. He was shooting the lights out. He was doing crazy stuff on the pitch. You know, it was just crazy. Like, from the start of the whistle to the end, and Michael was everywhere. And it was just so it was just right that he had to be the MVP of the tournament. Although the tournament is in its third year now, I feel the NBA could still do better. They can still do much more better with respect to people or sponsors that will be sponsoring the events and also the media partners and all that stuff. So, yeah, the Ball Africa, it was wonderful.
Really. You mentioned the NBA can do a little bit better. What do you think they can do better to improve the Basketball Africa League?
Yeah, we'll believe like the partners right now. Nike is one of the partners. Jordan Brand is one of the partners. Wilson, the basketball makers, are one of the partners. You know, but I feel we need more coverage. We need more coverage. Yeah, we need more media visibility. You know, and we need much more of promotions, because as it is right now, it's just an African thing. Although we know the NBA is sponsoring it, but we need more coverage, you know, because these guys really need to see how well we play and how good our players are. You know, like they all say, the NBA is just hype and media. Yeah, the NBA is just hype and media. Now, really, the Ball Africa League needs more coverage and more sponsorship. You know, when there is more sponsorship from big guys in the NBA and all that, you know, we could do a whole lot better. You understand? Yeah.
Well, that definitely makes a lot of sense. And anywhere there's coverage, you know, obviously it's going to be more interest and so on. Now, you mentioned Michael Dixon, you know, being the MVP, and you mentioned that he was from Georgia, you know. So yeah. They've infused a lot of American players. How does that work? How many foreigners can you have on each team? Is considered a foreigner?
No, there's no limit to the number of foreigners on a team, okay? Because, okay, let me just bust your bubble. The previous MVP winner was from U.S. Virgin Island, Walter Hodge.
Okay.
You know, so we got a lot of foreigners doing the most in the BA Africa League, in the Ball Africa League. You understand? Even, you know, this rapper, Cole. He played for like two games for one of the teams in the Ball Africa League before he went back. You know, so I think getting foreigners as part of the team, as part of players in the team, goes to strengthen the team and boost the confidence of the players. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? Yeah, it boosts the confidence of the player. Like a whole lot of teams had a whole lot of foreign players, like Angola team, Zamalek of Egypt, you know, Cape Town Tigers. Petrol Luanda.
My question would be, my question would be like, what is considered a foreigner? Is it an African player or is it someone that's outside of Africa or just outside of the country that the club is from in terms of what is considered a foreign player? Because I know that there were a Nigerian that played on the Egyptian team, Ike Diago. He played on the Egyptian Zamalek team, as a matter of fact. And I believe they won it last year and this year. Like you said, another team, was the winner. But what is considered a foreigner? Is it on country basis or is it based on continent? Or I'm just trying to get a better idea.
I think it's technically based on country basis. Like I might be a Nigerian, I go play for Zamalek of Egypt or an Angolan team. I'm a foreigner.
Okay.
So it's not like a continent thing. Do you understand? So far, I'm not from that particular country. I'm a foreigner. Yeah. So I think it's based on country, not on continent basis. Yeah.
And is there a limit to how many players that you can have? Because what's to stop the Egyptian team from having 12 Americans on their team? You see my point? Like. I want to get a better idea. Do they have like two or three limits for foreigners, or is you just can have as many as you want?
They can have as many as they want. I mean, if they can pay the salaries, who doesn't want more than one team, more than one player in their team? So there's no limit to a certain number of foreign-based players you can have on your team. However, it is expedient to note that as a club, you need to give room to most of your homegrown players so that they can develop. Those foreign players might just be a spice, like icing on the cake, you know, to kind of like make your team well balanced and stuff like that. You understand what I mean? Yeah. So that's just it, basically.
That makes a lot of sense. And, we're going to show some of the highlights of some of the games. In fact, while you were talking here, we'll show some of the highlights over there. What I also wanted to find out from you as a blogger and a basketball writer, you're familiar with, the inner workings of basketball and what goes on. How do you find basketball in Africa in terms of development?
Okay, generally, basketball in Africa, with respect to development, it's on the increase. Like, there's this geometric progression, okay? It's on a steady increase. A lot of people are doing a lot of things in different countries, basketball in Senegal, in Cameroon, in South Africa, in Nigeria, my home country. Just a lot of stuff is going on. And not just the NBA partnering and forming the BAL Africa League. There are a lot of individuals trying to make sure that there's this inclusion, there is this human capacity building with respect to growing the game of basketball in Africa. So it's like everybody's trying to do something to boost the hoop culture wherever they are, whether in the country or outside the country or from whatever it is they find themselves. Everybody's trying to do something to grow the game of basketball. Yeah, we cannot stop growing the game because it's something that most of us are already used to. So it's a culture. You know, like the American culture is all about basketball and baseball, you know. They don't really talk about soccer that much, but just basketball, baseball. Now, the Nigerian thing is all about soccer. We are just beginning to embrace basketball as one of the major sports in not just Nigeria, but in Africa. I can authoritatively tell you that basketball is the third most played sport in Africa.
Well, I can tell you that here in America, one of the reasons that I started playing basketball is because when I came here as a 10-year-old, I was born in Nigeria. I grew up in Nigeria most of that 10 years. And I was very good at soccer. You know, in fact, I was great at soccer, you know, kind of like every Nigerian kid. I had, you know, been playing soccer all my life. It was, you know, my dad used to take us to soccer games. And I was very fortunate growing up that, you know, my parents were well established where they could, you know, take us to soccer games and we sit in the press box and, you know, away from all the, you know, nonsense, right? And get to watch and enjoy the game. So I became a big fan of soccer. My surprise when I got to America and most of my friends, you know, or most of the people that I met, you know, my new friends didn't play soccer. They all played basketball. And subsequently, I had to learn a new game because, you know, no one played soccer here. And when I did play soccer, I find myself when they put me into a soccer league, when I think I was 12 years old, you know, the following year or whatever, a couple of years later, they put me in a soccer league. I would score 10 goals in one game, you know, because the kids here were so bad. You know, I was good, but the kids were bad. So very easily, I had to find a new sport. I became a basketball player because I wanted to do something challenging. You know, who wants to play soccer when you can score 10 goals in every game? You know, it was so boring. You know, these kids were very bad. So as you can see, the American, not to, you know, talk bad about my American peoples here, but your soccer, you know, you're as good at soccer as we, you know, as we develop in basketball to try to catch you in basketball. That's how much farther behind that you are in soccer when you compare it to Nigeria and European countries, you know. So Nigerians, you know, we focus on soccer. And here in the States, basketball is more of a focus. So it's good to see that the game of basketball is growing in Nigeria, just like the game of soccer is growing here in America. You won't believe today there's soccer leagues here in America, you know, very well-functioning soccer leagues. So that's what we're here for. We're here, you know, we're a sports show. We talk about sports. We're going to keeping it real, real life, real sports, and we keep things going. We're going to be back. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to come right back. We're speaking with Afiemo. I hope I said your name right. Say it for me one time,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah. Afiemo.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. We are speaking with Afiemo, the sports writer, senior sports writer, and he is giving us insights on what's going on in basketball, what's going on in Africa. We're going to come back. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back with Real Talk with Kingsley. We're speaking with Afiemo, the basketball writer, and he's going to be giving us more insights. Until then, listen to some more music. We'll be right back. Real Talk with Kingsley Obidere. This is the video podcast where you get all of the African sports, all of the inside stories, everything that you ever wanted to know about African basketball. We'll give you all the insights, all the juicy details that you want to know. We're going to keep it real. We're going to keep it sports. Believe me, this is going to be hype. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss this. Welcome back to Real Talk with Kingsley Obidere. This is your boy, the one and only K-I-N-G-S-L-E-Y. And we're doing this again. This is another episode where we give you Africa's number one podcast, keeping it real, real life, real sport. And we have Afiemo with us, and he is a sports writer, and we're doing the most out here. How you doing, Afiemo? You still with me, right?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm doing very great. I'm fine.
All right. Awesome. So we were just watching a clip of Basketball Africa League. Afiemo gave us a little bit of insights about the league and so on, and about, you know, the American standout, you know, MVP that for the league this year, you know, Mr. Dixon. And we're just talking basketball just a little bit.
Michael. About,
you know, how to improve basketball in Africa. Go ahead, Afiemo. What do you want to tell us about? What can we do to improve basketball in Africa? I know you mentioned a little bit about what the NBA can do, but individually, collectively, you know, the people in Africa, what can we do as a people to help grow this game of basketball?
Okay, thank you very much, Kingsley. It's been an honor once again to speak on your podcast. First of all, I like to say this. Basketball, the growth of basketball, it's a collective responsibility. It's not something that is meant for the government only. Now, as a people, to grow the game of basketball in Africa, like I said, a lot of people are doing a whole lot of stuff in the country, different countries and all that. Now, in Nigeria, we've got a whole lot of camps coming up at different times in Nigeria alone. A whole lot of persons organizing different camps, different clinics, different competitions, you know, to reach out to the youngsters, people trying to learn the game, trying to grow the game. Yeah, there are a lot of competitions. But one thing that stands out for me is not just having these competitions, you know, but taking it to the grassroots. Because I recently I had a talk with one of the all-time greats. Dominic, one of your players. He played with you guys in those
Dominic
days.
Dominic Okon?
No, Dominic Osarimie, a.k.a. Apache. Apache, yeah. So Apache was like, there used to be this event for younger players way back then. They were events for younger players. You know, there was this kind of network where players from all the way from primary school to junior secondary schools can be scouted to play. You know, there was this inclusion. I think that's what we're beginning to see now in Nigeria. Everybody seems to be organizing a camp somewhere, a competition somewhere, try to get people to get used to the game, get used to how things work, try to learn the basic fundamentals and all that. So I have a whole lot of things I want to say about these camps that have been coming up left, right, and center from different parts of Nigeria, even outside Nigeria. There are a whole lot of people doing a whole lot of stuff. Basketball players from Senegal, from Sudan, they are organizing basketball camps, you know, so just a way that they can actually grow the game in Africa. And it's a whole lot of good it will do to the younger players coming up. So I think personally, it's something that we have to do collectively so that we can boost the hoops culture in Africa in general. Yeah.
Well, you know, if you love the game of basketball, and this is the one thing that I always try to get across to people, is that we're going to play the game. You know, we're going to play, you know, because we love it. We just have to make sure that, you know, those other people that, you know, like your average fan, you know, that just wants to casually watch, that is interesting to them, you know, and that's where the marketing and all of those stuff come in. But your diehard basketball person is like, I go to the gym and I still play at the 24-hour fitness. You know, I'm not getting paid for it. In fact, they beat me up, they foul me and all of this stuff. But I do it because I love it. You know, I love this game and I want to grow it. And that's the same thing, you know, with everyone, you know, is that we need to, you know, do what we can to try to grow the game of basketball. Individually, if you love the game, go support it. You know, the best thing that you can do, like if you're watching this right now, click on the like button, you know, support, you know, the communities that support the game. And that's the best thing that we can do. Now, who do you think, you know, or is, or I want to get from you, since you are on ground, you know, I want to get the people, the up and coming guys to watch out for, or the teams to watch out for, even it can even be the countries to watch out for. I'll give you an example. When I played, Angola was the country that we had to worry about. When I showed up for a tournament, in my mind, I said, I'm going to see Angola in the finals. You understand? You know, okay, we might go through Egypt, we might go through Senegal, but I know my real competition is Angola, because I'm going to beat all them other teams, you know, very easily. Angola is what my problem is. Landscape has changed. Before I got on the team, they said Senegal was the team to beat. That's who Nigeria had problems with. I never lost. As far as I played for Nigeria, I've never lost to Senegal. Never. And I played 10 years for Nigeria. Never lost to Senegal once. It's not to say that we didn't have some battles. We had some battles. But I'm just saying that the only team that I lost to in Africa was Angola. So, but now, landscape has changed. You know, they dispatch Angola like, bow, you know, very easily. Now we got Ivory Coast to worry about. We got, you know, countries that I never thought in a million years, Mali, to worry about. You know, like all these countries, like
Mali.
Yeah, people that we used to beat with 70 points, you know.
Crazy.
I'm telling you, there was a country, a game that we played in Lagos. And in fact, I have the footage. I'm going to put some of that footage up, because I love playing in Lagos. I have to tell you, like, I've played in big arenas where there's thousands and thousands of people and all of that. But there is nothing like playing in that little hot box stadium in Lagos, where the air conditioning is not working, but the fans are like freaking amazing. You know, the Lagos fans used to call me Super K. You know, they used to call me Super K, and I was like, you know what, I like it. So because I used to put on the show over for them. You know, I'm like, I cross somebody over, I don't want to go to the basket. I'm like, come back, let's do it again. You know what I mean? I do my thing, and I cross you over again. You know, because they having fun. They go, whoop. Whoop, whoop. You know, I was like, oh man, I love these people. You know, like they get involved in it. It was almost like playing street basketball, but with like referees.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was like, oh, because they were into the, like, when you miss it, like, whoop, 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 you know, and, you know, hey, you know, like they get involved in it. You know, I was like, this is great. So, and I'm an entertainer.
Yeah.
You know, I'm an entertainer, like, you know, honest to God, like, you know, when I played, it was like, you know, first I was trying to prove a point that I belong. Number two, I was trying to be like, hey, you know, we're going to have fun out here. Right. Because I'm talking crazy to you. I'm talking trash, you know, and I cross you over like, you know, man, I love Lagos. I love Lagos. The fans are freaking amazing, you know. If I can play basketball in front of people anywhere, it would be Lagos. I promise. And I've played, you know, I've played in front of all kind of people, right? You know, and it's like, you know, and they might, the mob, they come after the game. They was like, hey, you know, the whole thing. I just enjoyed everything of it. To me, that was like some of the greatest experiences, you know, ever. Like, I mean, and I was a Harlem Globetrotter, you know, and we went from city to city. you know, entertaining. And that was actually an awesome experience. But the only thing that beats that experience is being in a plane for the Nigerian national team when, you know, in Lagos, not even in the competition when we played Angola and all them people. That was like, you know, that was a battle. But I had the most fun playing in front of the fans of Lagos. Even though the gym is bad, the floors are bad, you know, air conditioning doesn't work. You know, I mean, we got a host of problems, you know. But, you know, you can't beat it. But that's why I created this. Go ahead, bro.
All right. Okay. I understand where you're coming from. That was way back then. Okay. Right now, have you seen the FIBA power rankings
for That's African my point. Teams? Like, it's crazy now.
South Sudan, man. South Sudan is number one.
Yeah. Well,
Sudan is number one.
That power ranking is flawed. You know, the reason that's flawed is one, you know, we don't have all our talents, you know,
together. Yeah.
Our federation just went through a host of problems where our women just lost their spot in the World Cup because of poor federation management, right? Federation banned itself. Who does that? You ban yourself just to reinstate yourself a few months later.
Crazy.
And the only outcome is your girls that's champions of Africa that have sacrificed and killed themselves to get somewhere is banned. You know, that's the only outcome from the self-imposed banishment. You know, like sometimes, you know, being Nigerian is so frustrating that, you know, even my own coach, my own national coach criticized me when I asked for lift to ban. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to understand, like, the mentality of these people sometimes. You know, I don't even care if someone, you know, like, you can be mad at me for whatever reason. But, like, man, like why are we punishing athletes that have worked tirelessly to, you know, achieve success? And we're just going to punish them. You know, self-imposed ban that accomplished nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Absolutely. And the thing is, like, I've stayed out of their nonsense, right? And when I, you know, like, you know, thank God there was a diaspora group that, you know, got involved, other people got involved, and, you know, I'm sure we, you know, we did, you know, they probably don't even care that we wrote them letters and all of that stuff. But the point was that we got involved and started, like, hey, you know, but to receive criticism, even from my own coach, that was one of the things that the lowest point of basketball in Nigeria for me is that I hope would want the best for Nigerian basketball, you know, freaking vultures, man. Like, I'm so disappointed with the whole lot of them.
Yeah, Kingsley, that's the point. I think this particular discussion should be for another time, because if we go into the problems affecting Nigerian basketball, we're not going to close this show. That's just the truth. It's the CONCACAF has eaten too deep in the system. Everybody is in it for the money. Like, everybody is in it for, okay, what do they stand to gain at the expense of these athletes? You know, it's crazy the kind of things we see online, like when the ban came up, you know, the things we saw online, a lot of people were seeing a lot of stuff, and the world was watching us. You know, it's crazy. Like, Nigeria is supposed to be a country, irrespective of where we are in the sports line of the world, and at least as a Nigerian, we should be able to be proud of something. Yes. And sports shouldn't be something that government has to interfere as such that it has to affect even the ladies. I mean, who does that? Like, okay, after the ban, what happened? What did you gain? What was the essence of the ban? Nothing, like you said, absolutely nothing. You just created something out from nowhere, and everybody's just sitting their ass out, trying to look for where to gain $1 or $2 or something like that. It's just crazy. That is the more reason why a whole lot of individuals are doing hosting camps and competitions from their pockets.
Yes.
Without government interference.
I have a host of, you know, you know, former players now that have reached out, that are doing camps, they're doing various things. And it's all because, you know, the government has failed. The Nigerian Basketball Federation has failed them. And, you know, the people, the caretakers of basketball in Nigeria has failed them. And when someone like myself, you know, dares criticize or, you know, ask for change, then, you know, we're labeled as, trying to usurp power or, you know, nonsense of that nature. But at the end of the day, you know, we must do better. Nigerian basketball is far better than one person. It's not for one person to control. You have to think about the young people that are sacrificing, you know, to have an opportunity. You know, I implore everyone that's listening to this. There's a petition that we have going right now, you know, which is to reinstate the Nigerian women's basketball, you know, team, national team, you know, for the World Cup. They qualified for this World Cup. It needs to be a focal point. And another thing is that I want to take this opportunity, you know, to also ask for the release of Brittany Griner. I know that, Paul, Afiamo, we lost you there for a minute. Welcome back. Right now there's a couple of things that's going on that I wanted to address. One is what we were just talking about, which is the Nigerian national team, you know, the women's national team. They currently are out of the World Cup, not because of anything that they did, but because of Nigerian, you know, Federation and the Nigerian sports ministry. There was a Nigerian sports ministry banned themselves for 2 years, which subsequently the Nigerian women's team that won, they won African, you know, cup, that qualified for Africa, that qualified for the World Cup.
For the World Cup.
Was banned, basically had to give up their spot if
to the Mali.
Nigerian government wouldn't allow them to go, right? So they basically gave up their spot. We need to get that spot back. I'm not going to rest until those women have their spot back. I'm going to talk about it on every single podcast that I have until that spot gets back to them. Because as an athlete, there's nothing worse than having an opportunity taken away from you. And this is an opportunity that, you know, yes, those girls can benefit from it. And women's sports is always looked down upon. They don't get enough resources. They don't get enough money. They don't get enough support. There's very little that they get. So that when they work so hard to qualify for something, we shouldn't go and take it away from them on top of it. They worked for this. You know, so it bothers me. And the second request that I want to make is on Brittany Griner. This involves us here in the United States. Brittany Griner is a professional women's basketball player that's locked up in Russia. She's been there over 6 months.
Russia.
The United States government does not really care about her. Okay. I'm telling you that they don't. She's a Black woman. She's a lesbian. You know, she's already, you know, looked down upon, you know, and, you know, she's not LeBron James. So they don't care about her. You know, we need to put pressure on them so they can do the right thing. This girl is sitting in a Russian prison for no reason. Just because, you know why she's sitting there? Because she's an American. That's why she's really sitting there, because she's an American. And they can use her as a ploy, okay? And the only problem is that America does not care about it. Well, you know, remember when Kanye West said it, George Bush doesn't care about Black people. It should have been America doesn't care about Black people, you know? So I say that, you know, full-heartedly. They don't care about Black people. Otherwise, Brittany Griner would not be sitting in that prison. If she was blonde hair, blue-eyed, they would have let her out by now. You know, or they would be fighting to let her out. They made no effort, very little effort. So it pisses me off, and I'm going to keep talking about it till somebody hears me. You know, now I've gotten my 2 cents in. That's, you know, the Kingsley's word of the day. So
yeah,
there you have it. Afiamo, I want to get back to you to what we are talking about as we wrap up
for
African basketball. You know, please let us know. Is there anything that you want to share with us in regards to African basketball that we haven't covered here?
Yeah, we got a whole lot of stuff coming up, a whole lot of camps coming up. Yeah, you know, Precious Achiuwa.
Yes.
From Toronto Raptors, the Nigerian. Yes. He has a camp coming up tomorrow at Port Harcourt, River State. He has a camp coming up tomorrow at Port Harcourt, River State. And it is debut camp, and he's going to be doing a whole lot of stuff. The camp is going to run for 1 week, from the 25th to the 31st of July, River State, Port Harcourt, to be precise. Precious Achiuwa of Toronto Raptors. You know, he's a homeboy, and we are proud to see him grow in the NBA. It goes to show that we could get decent exports from the country to the NBA if we put our acts together. Mm. If we put our acts together, we will get decent exports. And one more thing. A lot of competitions have been coming around. Like in the past four or five months, we've gotten like a dozen competitions. As I speak with you presently, there's a competition ongoing in Lagos State. Now, I don't know if you remember Hansen Oguchi, mm-hmm. Oguchi of Crown Elite Sports.
Yes, yes. Is that Sam? Sam Oguchi, right?
Sam Oguchi, Hansen Oguchi.
Yes.
Of Crown Elite Sports. Yeah, they'll have a top key basketball tournament coming up in August. Top key basketball tournament for women.
Wow.
The competition is going to involve three West African countries, from Nigeria, from Togo, and from Ghana. There are going to be about eight female basketball teams that will play for bragging rights. And the competition, there are a lot of prizes, about 4 million naira worth of cash prizes to be won at the competition. There's also going to be an exhibition game. There's also going to be an expo talk for women empowerment. So that goes to show the extent to which individuals are trying to get something up and running for female basketball. Like you said, female basketball doesn't get the much required effort. Yeah, so it's a big win for them, because Crown Elite have been able to put something together. A whole lot of people, you know, trying to put something together. Like last month, there was a competition in Lagos, an MFM competition in Lagos for women. You know, it was wonderful. It was super packed at the indoor stadium in Lagos. It was wonderful. Atmosphere was charged up. And there's something I need to say here. I think these ladies are beginning to get... Although male games are usually more physical, but these ladies are beginning to understand what it is to grind on the basketball court for close to 30, 35 minutes. You need to see these ladies in action when they play basketball. Although it might not be as fluid as the male teams, but it's something to show for it. It's worth wasting or spending a penny, you know, on transportation to go watch these girls play. So I feel with the participation of more women in basketball and with the cooperation of people like yourself, myself as a writer, as a podcast, and as a blogger, people trying to sponsor competitions coming up, you know, I feel basketball, grassroots basketball in Nigeria is going to develop. And one more thing. You know, you talked about the marketing aspect of it. That's one key thing we are missing. The media is not doing much with respect to coverage of basketball games in the country. And also sponsors. Sponsors are really not coming. The sponsors are coming in only when they see that the individual organizing such event is actually probably a top shot, or someone that is financially capable, you know, that's when it comes in. But ideally, it's not supposed to be that way. That whole a lot of things the media can do, top key media can do to, you know, grow this game. Basketball doesn't get talked about much often in Nigeria, apart from just a few media houses talk about it. The buzz is not there. The buzz is not there. I can't count how many basketball blogs are in Nigeria, apart from myself. I don't think there's another basketball blog in Nigeria. A dedicated basketball website for Nigerian basketball. I don't think there is anyone in Nigeria. But you have a lot of sports blogs talking about football, soccer, but there is no dedicated media for basketball. So I think if something the media guys can look into it, you know, probably collaborate with sponsors, collaborate with major stakeholders, you know, so that they can package basketball games to basketball fans. I think that is one thing they need to actually look into. A whole lot of people want to watch basketball games, but they don't know where to watch it. They don't know how to watch it. So that is where these guys get to come in. Streaming games on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, and what have you. You know, trying to make sure that these games are accessible to people via their mobiles and stuff like that. You know, it's a whole lot of stuff that needs to be put in place. But like you rightly said, like what the general phenom is around here, you know, once the government gets involved, there's this bureaucracy that stops a whole lot of things, and it affects the game a lot.
Well, once government gets involved, it's funny you said that about you know, the media getting involved in streaming. One of the big things that I'm working on right now is with Ogele.com, which you may be familiar with Ogele a little bit. It's like a YouTube, but for Africa. You know, it's African content. It's mainly African content is what you will find on Ogele.com. So I've been working with them, and you know, when we develop something, you know, for night. Well, the problem right now is that the Nigerian Professional League is not actively involved. So there's
just
no.
Forget about the league, man. The league is crazy. Just.
We're going to develop a new league. But what I want is the players are going to need to stream with Ogele. You know, that way we get, you know, all the players' media. Get them, you know, in front. I want every player to have a website or a web presence. You know, it sounds like you have little ones like me.
Yeah, my daughter.
How old is your daughter?
She's 8 months.
Oh wow! Wow, you have a newbie. Wow! Congratulations. Let's see your. Can you get her on camera?
Yeah, she's on camera.
Oh wow! Look how precious she is. Oh wow! Yes. She's gonna eat your earpiece.
Yeah, baby, leave my earpiece alone.
That is awesome. This is one of the reasons I film, you know, in late hours as well, because, you know, having little ones like that, it definitely makes it a little bit tougher to get things done, but. In the day that we live in now, this is very normal because as a working parent, you always have to have kids around now. So don't feel bad. It's very normal. Well, we want to thank her. Thank her for letting us film. She didn't interrupt us too much. So that's actually very good.
Thank you. Just listen, I should tell you thank you for letting us film. Bye. Thank you. She's smiling.
Yeah. Hey, pretty baby. Hey. Yay.
Oh, yeah. Go meet your mama. Go meet your mama.
All right.
So let's continue.
Yeah. You know, this it's actually a very good spot for us here. You know, so what we're going to do is I definitely want to thank you for sharing time with us today we're going to do this again. You know, maybe we'll do a follow-up next week. And we'll continue to, you know, bring more insights, you know, to Africa basketball, what's going around the, you know, the continent. And we're going to, you know, we're going to grow and develop this game the way they, the way that you love it and the way that I love it.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Until next time, we want to thank everybody for watching our podcast today. We're speaking with Afiemo, my sports writer. You know. All right. Until next time, this is Kingsley Obudere. We want to thank you for watching Real Life, Real Sport, and Real Talk with Kingsley. Next time, we'll catch you next time.
Thank you,
Afiemo. All right, my man.